is great to be with you guys again. You know, I got to, oops, just a second, I got to play with something. I had to be down here at a conference and tomorrow, so Miss S is so nice. And I love coming and sharing with you, so I get to stop here and do that and then go to the conference that I have to speak at. So it is good seeing you. You are at the age, one of my favorite ages to talk to, because of the fact that you have your whole life ahead of you, most likely.
David, it worked on the first try.
Weird, isn't it?
I know.
You have your whole life ahead of you. So if I get a chance to come and talk to somebody in your age group, I love to do it. Because you can avoid so many problems if you want to. Or you can get stuck in them, one of the two. Your life could be something that at the end of your life you look back and go, man, that was like the coolest thing that ever happened, or what a waste. And you get to determine that. In fact, right now, you all have this tremendous potential. As I look at you, I see God created you all differently. He gave you different talents, different abilities, and he didn't make a mistake in one of you. He did not make any mistakes. Now I can use the word potential with you because you're young. But if you came to me and said that Dave had potential, that would be a wasted life by now. Because I'm 60. How old are you? 13, all right? There's a big difference there. You see, there comes a time in life where you decide, I'm going to do something with the potential that God gave me. There's somewhere along the line you do that. And when you do that, you separate yourself from the rest. Because there's a lot of people just cruising through life, just doing whatever. Today, I want to talk to you about Rehoboam, a villain, or I would even say he's goofy. By the end of your life, you don't want to be considered goofy. You don't want to have that problem. In fact, I want to contrast it if I can. I want to talk to you about, first of all, what would it be if you did things right in life? If you were put in Hebrews chapter 11, if you were a hero according to God, what would that look like? Well, it would look like this. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, you know what? All of you know how to read, so this is very simple to understand. What God is basically saying is this, that if you don't have faith, just believe that God means what he says. If you don't have faith and you don't act on what God says, then you won't be considered one who fulfills your potential. You could never be in this chapter. What's really interesting is, this is a real simple principle. I can know God exists, and I can try and draw next to him. I can try and be next to him. In other words, I can work at my relationship with him. And when I do that, God actually likes that. Do you know the Bible tells us that if you seek God, what will happen? You'll find him 100% of the time. Here's what we do a lot of times. We don't take personal responsibility like we should. We really don't look for God. But then something happens, and we blame him for it. He says, you know, if you want to know who I am, look for me. And you can find him in the Bible. You can see who he is. Another way to understand a hero is the book of Joshua. Joshua is a hero. And Joshua basically said, this book of the law shouldn't depart from your mouth. You know what that means? It's like if I just spit here, whatever came out used to be a part of me. Now it's over there somewhere. This book of the law shouldn't do that. It shouldn't leave you. It should stay a part of you. In other words, the Bible should stay a part of you. And you should think about it day and night. Why? To be careful to do what it says. Do you ever, you know, your parents, your teachers, they might ask you to do something and you hear it, right? But if you don't do it, what good is it? You know, I'm a teacher too, Nicolet Bible Institute. I used to teach, actually, fifth grade. And I had a simple rule in my class. I have two grades. If you were my student, you get two grades. You either get an A or an F. And that's how I graded everything, two grades. And the criterion was simple. You either did what I asked you or you didn't. Not that hard. If I ask you to do this and you do it, you get an A. And if you don't learn, that's my problem. But if you don't even do it, forget it. I can't help you. You know, it's interesting. God says, if you seek me, you'll find me. That's your responsibility to seek him. He's there. He's not hiding. And you need to seek him. See, heroes do that. Another verse that talks about heroes, the making of a hero, if you're thinking about it. And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. I'm quoting from another version, sorry. And with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus asked, what Christianity is about? He says, two things, just two things. Love God, love each other. That's it. What if you just focus on those two things then? You see, if you really focused on knowing God and loving God, you'd act like it and you'd love other people. So if you're not loving other people, it's because you don't love God, you don't know him. And by the way, if you're angry with God or disappointed with him, you just don't know him. And what happens a lot of times, you listen to people that don't know what they're talking about. And that's what we want to talk about today. The making of a villain. Choosing the wrong crowd to listen to. Do you know, you'd be silly to listen to certain people. Let me give you some people that you'd be silly, goofy ideas. You'd be silly to take money advice from financial people who are broke. Yeah. Right? So somebody comes here, they're a beggar on the street, and they want to give you advice in investing in the stock market. I wouldn't listen to them. Like, doesn't work. Just doesn't work. You'd be silly taking health advice from someone who's not healthy. I mean, somebody comes in, they're obviously out of shape and unhealthy. Let's say I was about 500 pounds, and I came to you and said, hey, you want to learn how to get in shape? I can teach you. What you do is you'd look at me and go, get out of here. I mean, you might not say it because you're nice. Maybe you'd be thinking, I don't want to listen to anything you're doing, I'm not doing. Relationship advice from someone who does not have healthy relationships. You'd be silly to listen to somebody talk to you about relationship advice. I remember this guy was a marriage counselor, and he was on his third marriage. I'm thinking, who's going to listen to you? I mean, honestly, you ought to have a good marriage. You want someone to listen to you. You ought to practice a little bit, at least a little. You know, listening to advertisements in the media, do you realize that when they try and sell you something, they don't have your best interest in mind? They could care less about your best interest. You need to be careful not to listen to everything you hear like that. And you know what else you need to be careful about is not listening to the godless tell you about God. Because that doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, somebody doesn't know God, they go, well, I think God should be like this. Have you ever read the Bible? No. Did you ever? No, I don't know. But I think you should be like this. And then he convinces you. And you go, who in the world? What in the world are you talking about? You don't even know who God is. That's absolutely nuts. Who here, you know, I'm from Silverbridge Ranch. Who here has never been to Silverbridge Ranch? Come up here, please. No, I'm not giving you anything. Now, what we want to do, we want to do something here. You and me. What's your name?
Riley.
Hi, Riley.
Hi.
I'm Dave.
Hi, Dave.
I've been in camp since I was 11 years old, Silverbridge Ranch, and I'm 60.
That's a long time,
isn't it? Every single summer. This is my 49th summer there. The whole summer, it would be my 49th complete summer, except for I go up to the Canada once in a while, up to the Canadian Venture Camp. But, you know, so I actually was at camp starting at 11 years old for, you know, got out of school on what day is that? Memorial Day, right?
Yeah.
All right. And then I went up until Labor Day and stayed there and then went back to school. So I want you to tell people what it's like to be at camp when you're 11 years old for all summer.
It's fun.
That's true.
There's lots of stuff to do, I think.
You're getting pretty general here.
I don't know.
All right, I'm going to tell you what it's like. When I was 11 years old, I took care of the horses with a bunch of guys, and I got up at 4:30 in the morning to feed them. There were seven of them. Seven of them. That's it. You know my favorite horse's name? Tony.
I know someone named Tony.
Well, I know a horse named Tony. Well, I used to. He's probably dog food by now. Oh, sorry. Something has to happen to him. Here's the deal. If you were going to try and learn about camping and Silverbridge Ranch, and you had the two of us to talk to, and you had a choice on who to listen to, who would you listen to?
You.
Yeah. Right. And you know, if you listen to Riley, you're a Rehoboam kind of person. Because basically, in life, you're going to find out that there's people who actually know what they're talking about, and there's fakers. Thank you. You can sit down. I'm sure she's a nice girl. I didn't imply anything by any of this. I just had to find someone that wasn't a camp. All right, but the deal is very simple. In life, you're going to find people that actually act like they know something. Like they know something. Come on up here. You know a lot about trucks?
Sort of.
Sort of? Ford, new Ford truck, aluminum. Yes or no, good or bad?
That'd be bad.
Why?
It's too light.
Is it? It's aircraft aluminum.
It's made by
maybe.
Ford.
Maybe.
But it's not fully aluminum.
Can I ask you something? Did you ever meet with any Ford engineers?
No.
No. So you don't know why they did this?
No.
You don't know how they did this? Do you even know where they did this?
Detroit.
No. Sit down. There's my point. He can have opinion about it, but where's it based on? What's his opinion based on? I don't know, somebody talking while they're having a Coke somewhere. Somebody, you know, some advertisement, a Chevy dealer's advertisement. You know, in other words, it's not that he couldn't have an opinion. He can have an opinion about anything he wants. But who cares, honestly, when you're talking about a truck? Because you haven't been there to see it. He can have it, but it may not mean anything because he doesn't really have anything to back it. I used to criticize the president more than not just this one, other ones, because they would do something. I'd say, what do you do that for? Until some older guy came to me once and said, so were you ever in on a cabinet meeting? Did you ever sit there and hear what the president heard? No. Well, what are you saying anything for? Well, yeah, well, good point. I mean, when you think about it, I really don't know what the president heard. So maybe I should be quiet until I know a little bit more. This Rehoboam guy was interesting. He chose to ignore the sound advice that was offered him. He was given sound advice. There were older people that he could talk to that had been around the block a few times, and they understood a few things, and he could have listened to them, but he chose not to. Let me give you the verse. 1 Kings 12, 4 and 5. Your father, who made our yoke heavy, he went to these older guys and he asked, what do I need to do? I'm taking over the kingdom. What do I need to do to keep things in a prosperous, wonderful way? He said, your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and the heavy yoke that is on us, and we will serve you. And he said to him, go away for 3 days and come again. So the people went away. So he's trying to get advice. Not a bad thing. You should always try and get advice. And he got the older people. He said, look, I'm going to start taking over this kingdom. So can you tell me what you think I need to do to be successful? And the older people said, here's what you need to do. Then the king Rehoboam, actually that was the people. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men. Now the old men come. All right, so I had myself one step ahead there. And he said this, the old men came, the people came and said, you know, we want you to be king, that kind of thing. He was tough on us. And here's what the old men said. If you'll be a servant to the people this day and serve them and speak good words to them, and when you answer them, they will be your servants forever. He said, just be nice to them. Go out there and act like a king that cares about the people. That's their advice. So if I were going to be your king, the advice that the old people were giving him would be, go to the young people of Fox Valley Christian Academy and care for them. Be nice to them. Help them. Make their lives better. That sounds like pretty good advice, actually. Not bad. You know what, though? This is tough, because you know what kings were like back then? Kings really thought they were God in many senses. Now, the kings of Israel were not supposed to be that way, but they were kind of power-hungry people. They loved to have people, they loved to boss people around and have people do things for them. See, the older people said, if you want to live in a way where people respect you and want to be around you, you need to be a servant to the people. And if you check out through the Bible, that's exactly what God speaks about. Those who are successful leaders are servant leaders. And that's what they told him. That's what you got to do. Interesting. But this is what he did. He abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him. In other words, he said, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. And he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him. And he took counsel with the young men he grew up with and stood before him. So it'd be like if you came to me and said, Dave, I want to understand how to start, you know, a camp. I want to start a camp one day. You were in on that, so I want to understand how to do that. And I gave you advice, and you said, okay, see you later. And then you went and you asked her how to start a camp. And you listened to her, and you ignored me. Now, again, I'm not against her. No, I'm not. It's just she shouldn't be giving you advice on how to start a camp, probably. But if you're going to listen to somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about, my goodness, what in the world? You can have an opinion about anything. It just doesn't mean you know what you're talking about. And what Rehoboam did here was he abandoned the counsel the old men gave him, and he took the counsel of the young men who he had grown up with. His buddy said, hey, what do you guys say? These guys say to be nice and be a servant leader. What do you say? Here's where he gets goofy. He took counsel with the young men who he had grown up with. And the young men who he had grown up with him said to him, thus you shall speak this to the people. Another version in my head. Your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. Thus you say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips. I will discipline you with scorpions. Goofy. I mean, who in the world does this guy think he is? This is incredible. He had, first of all, the people came to him and said, here's the problem, man. We have been burdened. And he said, give me 3 days. I'm going to think about what I need to do. The old guys came in that understood what he needed to do, and they said, man, you need to be a servant king. The people need to know that you care about them. I mean, generally, just simple stuff. He said, that's nice. See you later. I'm going to bring my buddies in, see what they say. And their buddies say, are you kidding, man? You're in power. And you know what? We're your buddies. They didn't say that, but I'm sure it was there. You're in power. We're your buddies. Hey, let's get everything, man. Tell these people they better listen or they're dead meat. Oh, we're your buddies, right? Yeah. Then they're dead meat if they don't listen. Because we're your buddies. We grew up with you. You see, it might be tempting for Rehoboam to listen to somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about. Because they're his buddies. See, there may come time where you listen to somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about because they're your buddy. Just being your buddy doesn't mean you should listen to them. Especially if somebody that really cares about you and loves you is saying something opposite. I mean, it might be a parent, it might be a teacher, it might be somebody else saying, you know what, I think you shouldn't do this, but your buddy's going to go, oh, you know, what does Miss S know, man? She's just this old lady over there, what's she know? And, oh, yeah, it's in context, stay it in context here. You know, and the bottom line really is, what you're really saying is, I want to be goofy. I want to be a villain. I want to be somebody who messes up in life. Because there's somebody that is in my life that can actually help me, and they actually said something, and I don't want to listen to them. Instead, I'm going to find somebody who says what I want them to say, and I'm going to listen to them. And the only reason I'm going to listen to them is because they're my friend. I'd say I grew up in Chicago. I had a bunch of friends told me a bunch of things that you better not do. Because if you did them, you'd be in big trouble. That's what he was doing, basically. He had chose to ignore sound advice. In 1 Kings 12:14, said he spoke to them according to the counsel of the young men. He went back to the people, and he basically spoke to them according to the counsel of young men. My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So he went to the people and he said that to them. So it'd be like this. If I came in and I told you, all right, students, I'm the new teacher for everybody. All of you are fired. From now on, you thought you had homework before. Yeah, wait till I get a hold of you. You're going to be doing homework till midnight, and you better get up at 4. Yeah, you. Yeah. You see, all of a sudden, you're not voting me most popular teacher. You're begging your other teachers to come back. Why? Because I'm not listening to anybody. I just thought, I'm going to have power, and I'm going to take it out on you, and I'm going to just do what I want, and I'm going to enjoy my power, and you're going to listen to me, or you're going to suffer. That's what he basically did. Now, I want to suggest that this is not a guy you want as a friend. But he had friends, and they all thought they could do this. Here's the first thing he did was abandon. He abandoned the advice of the people he should have listened to. Every one of you should have people in your life that are older than you, that love God, that you throw things by. You throw them by them. You tell them, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm doing. Let them talk to you. If your parents love God, teachers here that love God, you should have people in your life that love God that you can talk to, that are older than you. And you want to listen to them. You want to hear what they have to say. Now, You know, the funny thing is, as I travel and speak, I've got years and years of experience. Here's what you have to understand. I'm not very smart. I'm just very experienced. In other words, I've lived a lot of days. And in those days, I've done a lot of things. So when I've done a lot of things, I've learned a lot of things. And that's why at my age, I can help you. Because I've learned a lot of things, so I can help you. Now, if you reject my help, I can't help you, can I? That's why I only gave 2 grades, A and F. Because I can help you if you do what I ask you. But if you don't do what I ask you, I can't help you. So all I'm asking you is to do what I ask you. And that way, if you failed in life, if you failed 5th grade, it was because of me, not because of you, because you did everything I asked you. You see, the first thing was he ignored. The second thing was that he didn't seek God. In 2 Chronicles 12:14, and he did evil, for he did not seek, set his heart to seek the Lord. He didn't set his heart to seek God. You know, I don't know how many of you in your thought process, you're thinking right now, how many of you say, you know what, one of the things I want to do in life is really know God. I mean, I really do. It's not just academic. It's not religious. I really want to know him. See, that's setting your heart to know him. One of Ray Bohm's problems is he didn't set his heart to know God. He set his heart to know the people's advice and the old people's advice and the young people's advice, but not God's advice. And by the way, God doesn't have advice. You would never say God nice advice. That word wouldn't go with him. He doesn't have an opinion either. You'd never say to God, nice opinion. You'd never do that. He doesn't have one. See, what God says is right 100% of the time. And every time I've heard, I've probably said this. He's older than you, and he's smarter than you, and he loves you. You can trust him. And that's important to understand. I tell you, when you neglect God, neglect him. Have you ever neglected something? Yeah, and what happens is it usually dies or fades away or rots or something. You can't neglect the house if you own it. You can't neglect a pet. You can't neglect the goldfish. You can't neglect them. It won't be good. You can't neglect the relationship with God. You can't just have a pretend relationship. You need to seek him. Any advice you get that ignores God and the seeking of him is bad advice. If somebody came to you and said, look, I just want you to listen to what I have to say, and I know you know what God says, but I know more than God. Sorry, not going to happen. The first thing, he chose to ignore sound advice. The second thing, he didn't seek God. Hebrews 3:13 says, back into Hebrews, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. See, what happens after a while, some of the stuff that isn't good, it looks good to you. So you start trying to figure out ways to be that way and allow it in your life. Now, I'm not much of a science guy, but I do understand this, that your lungs actually love carbon monoxide. Not sure why you die from it, but they love it. So if you're going to breathe right now air and carbon monoxide got in your lungs, your lung cells would go, ooh, I love that stuff. And they would start to absorb the carbon monoxide. And what would happen after a while, all of the cells in your lungs would be so full of carbon monoxide that when you breathe, they couldn't absorb oxygen anymore and you die. People's had that happen every year in our country. They are locked in a car, a garage with a car running or something, and carbon monoxide gets in there and they breathe and they die, or their furnace doesn't work right. That's why you have a carbon monoxide detector at home. Because your lungs are funny that way. You don't want to breathe carbon monoxide, I promise. What's really weird about the lungs, though, is that it's just like you and I. Sometimes there's stuff out there, it's sin, we know it's wrong, but it's kind of like we want it. The trouble is, if you go get that sin and you allow it in your life, you're not listening to God now because you know it's sin. It's like carbon monoxide, man. It starts to choke you out, and before you know it, you're just spiritually dead. And you don't even know why. You were just in a room breathing, and all of a sudden, no. Because you in your life, this, you did not understand that sin may look real nice on the outside. It may look like something you want, but it's terrible. These guys, Ray Bohm, what do you want to do? He wanted to be the big guy, man. He wanted everybody to listen to him. He wanted to be the guy that that everybody had to just, you know, bow down to and give their money to and serve. He, you know, people kind of like that power trip thing. It's deceitful. He became goofy. He was one of the goofiest people in history. Neglect alone is sufficient to ruin a person. Just neglect. Neglect of God. Neglect of people. Neglect of truth. You know, I left Goofy's head and ears there because you can put any face in there you want. There are people all over that end up goofy because they're just not listening to the right people. You were made to follow. You really were. But you were made to follow God. There are people that are neglecting God. I hope you're not one of them. I hope that in your life that you have a regular habit of wanting to know who God is. And if you want to know who God is, you got to pick up the Bible, open it, and read it. You're old enough to do that. In fact, you know what? If you read at a fifth grade level and you opened the Bible, just opened it up, and you read it aloud, which is the slowest way to read it, how long would it take you to have to read the Bible through in a year? How much every day would you have to read? About 12 minutes. About 12 minutes. I got people saying, I'm busy. How can I read the Bible through? Got 12 minutes? You probably read it through. You could read it to your cat. I mean, you could do it aloud. See, don't neglect God. You can be in a position where you decide not to neglect God. Second thing, don't neglect sound advice. As you grow older, there's going to be situations you're not sure of. I'm telling you something. If you got parents that love God, you got older people around you, leaders or something that love God, you're in the middle of a new situation or something, go talk to them. Say, hey, I'm in a new situation. Talk to them. Don't neglect advice. Some of you don't go and do that because you don't want to hear that advice. Believe it. If you came to me and asked me advice, I have nothing. I'm not trying to get anything from you. I'm not trying to. So you could probably listen to my advice because I'm not really trying to have any power trip. I'm not. You can really go to God. You can go to godly people. But if you neglect going to have advice, you're going to be in trouble. They neglect obedience. It's one thing to know what God says. And I'll bet you that there are many times where you know what God has said, but you choose not to do it. You neglect it. You just say, well, I'm not listening to that. Well, you're headed towards being a villain or goofy. Neglecting accountability. You know, accountability is where you let people see your life and what you're doing. You should not have private areas in your life. You really shouldn't. People should know what you're doing. You should have in your life an availability for parents and other people to know what you're doing, what you're thinking, say things, talk to them, have good conversations. Neglect discipleship. You know, you can't neglect discipleship. In other words, each one of you should be meeting with somebody and working through becoming the person of God and somebody older that's working with you in a systematic way. And the last one, neglecting relationships. It's really important that you have good friends in your life, and good friends will tell you hard things. They will tell you stuff you need to hear. If you neglect these things, you're going to end up goofy, and your face will be there. You need to, in your life, make sure that you're not neglecting the things that will allow you to reach your potential. Rehoboam, he listened to the wrong crowd. Don't you do that, or you will regret that. Let me pray. Father, again, thank you that you let us spend time today. We ask that each one in this room will understand their responsibility in seeking you, and as they seek you, understanding what you've said and listening to what you said. I pray you bless them as they do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.